administration has quietly released a scaled-back cybersecurity strategy outlining steps that the government, industry, and citizens should take to protect computer systems from online attacks. The strategy, which President Bush signed on the 31st of January, has been in development since shortly after the 11th of September 2001 terrorist attacks. Unlike earlier drafts that asked the private sector to take concrete steps to protect their systems, the majority of the final document directs the government to lead by example by tightening the security of federal information systems. Omitted from the final plan were proposals to ask technology companies to contribute to a security research fund and for internet service providers to bundle firewall and other security technology with their service. Instead, the plan urges home and small business computer users to install firewall and antivirus software. It also calls for the creation of a public-private dialogue to find ways that the government can reduce the burden of security on home users and businesses. It also encourages government contingency planning for cybersecurity attacks, including disaster recovery, in the event that a major node on the internet is disabled. Among other cybersecurity defences, it calls for a network operating centre to monitor the health of the internet and detect attacks and virus outbreaks before they cause much damage. Older versions of the plan suggested halting the use of a wireless network in federal and civilian agencies until the security was improved. The final version says only that federal agencies should follow wireless security guidelines outlined by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Other ideas in the plan include the possible development of a cyberspace academy, White House partnerships with the organizations that manage the Internet's architecture, and information analysis centers at higher learning institutions. The movie and music industries said they've published a guide to help companies prevent copyright abuse on their computers, and they've distributed it to Fortune 5000 companies this week. The guide, published jointly by trade groups for the industries entitled A Corporate Policy Guide to Copyright Use and Security on the Internet, requests that companies take steps to ensure their computer and internet systems are not being utilized for film and music piracy. The groups, the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association of America, represent the film and music arms of the world's biggest media conglomerates, including companies like Bertelsmann, EMI Group, AOL Time Warner, Vivendi Universal, and Sony, News Corp, and Walt Disney. The movie and music industries have been aggressive in pursuing copyright infringement litigation against renegade services like Napster. The group said they issued the guide to raise awareness at the corporate level of illegal activities that may be taking place on company networks. The guide requests that companies advise employees against copyright abuse on computer systems in the workplace and warned that such unauthorized copying is illegal, can tarnish corporate reputations, and increase security risks for computer systems and put organizations at risk of legal liability. In warning of the penalties related to copyright infringement, the group cited a case in which Arizona-based Integrated Information Systems paid a $1 million settlement in April 2002 after employees were found to be accessing and distributing thousands of music files on the company's server. The International Federation of Photographic Industry, the trade body for the record industry worldwide, drafted the brochure for top European companies and is spearheading the effort overseas. In an effort to jumpstart the sales of its online subscription service in a competitive but soft demand market, Listen.com teamed with Terra Lycos to let customers use its Rhapsody digital music service to burn as many songs as they want for 49 cents per track. The promotion is available to Rhapsody subscribers who sign up, that's $10 a month, through the Lycos Music and Listen.com websites between now and the 31st of March 2003. The offer, which effectively cuts the routine at 99 cent per track fee in half, also extends to existing subscribers. The promotion also reflects an irony in online music trade. While players such as Listen.com, Pressplay and MusicNet, who honour the myriad of licensing contracts with the recording labels that own the music, previously fought the idea of selling tunes individually without restrictions, the idea seems to be gradually gaining traction as an attractive lure to prospective customers. For example, while the TracksListen.com is offering aren't illegal unrestricted downloads, as, say, the way the Recording Industry Association of America paints file-sharing services like Kazaa, they can be turned into MP3 files. Once the songs are converted, users can burn CDs with them en masse or transfer them to computers or portable music devices. But Lycos didn't stop there in its endeavor to lure new customers from rivals such as Pressplay and MusicNet and to compete with free file-sharing entities such as Kazaa. Lycos Music and Listen.com are also offering a week of free access extending to the 21st of February. Listen.com is posing this as a test drive where consumers can wrap their ears around Rhapsody's digital music library without submitting credit card information. It also said customers who subscribe during this week will get a 40% discount off their first 3 months of service. Dave Williams. Yes, that's Dave Williams, but not our Dave Williams of ACB Radio. He is the president of product management for Listen.com. Claimed that more than 75% of those who try Rhapsody get hooked into subscribing. He said Lycos Music is a logical place for the promotion because its broad range, Barcelona-based Terra Lycos boasts a presence in 42 countries, reaching 118 million users per month. The promotion includes the service's entire library of content, including music from more than 20,000 albums owned by BMG, EMI, Recorded Music, Universal Music Group, Warner Music Group, and more than 30 independent labels. Rhapsody remains the only online music subscription service to let customers burn individual tracks so customers can customize their CD collections. At Pressplay, customers must buy a membership plan to get a limited number of burns, or buy extra burns in packs of 5, 10, or 20, averaging about a dollar a song. But MusicNet doesn't allow members to burn music at all. However, the newest iteration of MusicNet, to be released sometime next month, will allow users to burn one CD of up to 10 songs each month for $17.95 a month. But the legitimate subscription services are still fighting an uphill battle. Industry studies indicate that the number of online music subscribers totals just 600,000, while free-for-alls such as Kazaa boast some 11 million users. Microsoft will unveil a new suite of business applications, new computer service software, and new technology for smart wristwatches in the forthcoming year as part of its vision for the future of technology, co-founder and chairman Bill Gates said last Tuesday. Gates addressed about 700 technology professionals and hobbyists who were among those named most valuable professionals by Microsoft. Microsoft hosted the group, chosen for sharing technical expertise with others on Microsoft news groups or other forums, for 3 days of technical workshops and discussions. There's a lot of invention still to be done, Gates said, and the advances in microprocessing power and increasing access to high-speed internet connections means that the potential is huge for software magic to make devices come to life, he said. The new version of Microsoft's Office software, due for later this year, will help users more efficiently access, update, and share key information. Similarly, computer service software will include the technology needed to deliver web services in the future, in which computers will be able to talk automatically with one another, regardless of network, system, device, language, or application. Web portal MSN is testing a new search service that touts faster, tidier results in what's the latest development in a fast-moving contest to help people find what they're looking for online. The Microsoft-owned division launched a test site for MSN Search on Tuesday that omits banner advertisements and large navigation columns for the MSN network, freeing up more room on the page to display query results. The new site also says that it can display results 65% faster than before. To the UK now, and BT is to start trials of a new 128kbps internet connection in the spring, which could bring higher speed internet access to areas not currently covered by broadband. The mid-band trial will start in March or April, but a BT spokesman wouldn't reveal where the trial will take place. The telco is describing mid-band as an alternative high-speed access product for areas that can't get broadband coverage. It's testing a number of different technologies, but the end product could be based on BT's existing home highway ISDN service, which consists of two 64kbps links bundled together to create a 128kbps channel. But it's likely that whatever technology is chosen, it won't require local exchanges to be upgraded, according to BT. This means that mid-band can potentially reach 97% of the UK, much more than is currently available to broadband. While the new service won't be completely always-on, it will provide always-on email. A Paris criminal court on Tuesday acquitted former Yahoo boss Timothy Kugel of charges of illegally selling Nazi memorabilia online through the portal's auction site. The court decided that neither charge brought against Kugel, one of justifying a crime against humanity and the other of exhibition of a uniform, insignia, or emblem of a person guilty of crimes against humanity, had been proven. Kugel, a 51-year-old US citizen and resident, had been taken to court by the Association of Auschwitz Deportees, a group of survivors of the infamous Nazi death camp. And finally, a California woman is suing Microsoft, Symantec, and some software retailers, claiming the companies concocted a scheme to mislead consumers by requiring them to consent to software licensing agreements they haven't read. The suit, filed on Friday in Marin County Superior Court in San Rafael, California, seeks class action status on behalf of all Californians who have bought software including Norton Antivirus 2002, Norton SystemWorks, and Windows XP Upgrade. Specifically, the suit, which was brought by Kathy Baker, claims that Microsoft, Symantec, CompUSA, Best Buy, and other unnamed retailers don't allow people to read shrink-wrap license agreements printed inside the box or incorporated into the software itself before they buy a product. Further, the suit claims that people who don't accept the terms of the agreement can't return software to the stores. According to the suit, Baker tried to return the Microsoft and Symantec software to CompUSA after refusing to consent to the license terms. However, CompUSA refused to take the software back, saying the packages had been opened, according to the suit. End-user license agreements have become a hot-button issue in the tech industry as more and more companies try to forge increasingly restrictive contracts. Some companies have tried to ban class action lawsuits, damages, or reverse engineering of their products. In one of the few cases so far to test the limits of such agreements, a judge in New York ruled last month that network associates couldn't enforce wording that prohibited reviews of its product without prior consent. And that's News Briefs for this week.